Now we turn to the report released today on intelligence failures leading up to the Iraq War. The presidentially appointed commission took 618 pages to flesh out their analysis, but you don't have to go beyond the first page to find some riveting reading. The quote is, "We conclude that the U.S. intelligence community was dead wrong in almost all of its pre-war judgments about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction." In the next 617 pages, the commission dissects the intelligence failure and argues for dramatic changes to all the nation's 15 spy agencies. At a press conference earlier today, President Bush remarked on the report.
The commission report delivers a sharp critique of the way intelligence has been collected and analyzed against some of the most difficult intelligence targets, especially Iraq. To win the war on terror, we will correct what needs to be fixed and build on what the commission calls solid intelligence successes.
We're joined now from his office on Capitol Hill by Martin Cady, who covers intelligence for Congressional Quarterly. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Dead wrong is some pretty strong language. Where does the commission actually put the blame?
Well, the commission puts the blame sort of universally across the intelligence community, everyone from the CIA to the Defense Intelligence Agency to the National Security Agency. It doesn't pin blame on any one individual, and in fact, if you read through it, it seems as though President Bush gets a little bit of a pass from this report in terms of there's no direct blame on the president, rather on the institutions that were informing him on intelligence.
The suggestion is that there was no distortion of intelligence that was brought forth. It was simply errors.
That's what they said, although there is a footnote in the report deep at the bottom that says that it was not part of this commission's charge to look into whether any of the intelligence used to justify the war was manipulated for political purposes. So they kind of didn't go there on this commission report.
Any big surprises in the report?
I don't think there's any big surprises. After 2 years of reporting on this and all the investigations, the Senate Intelligence Committee did its own inquiry with the House Intelligence Committee. I think everyone in the American public knows that there was flawed intelligence in terms of the Iraq weapons of mass destruction.
How about recommendations? Any strong call for action here?
Well, there's 74 recommendations, but I don't think this is going to have the impact of last year's 9/11 report. Now, these are two separate things. The 9/11 report was about 9/11. This is about Iraq, but they deal with the same systematic problems in the intelligence community about sharing intelligence. But there's 74 recommendations that they recommend a lot better get human intelligence, recruiting better spies. One thing they want to encourage in this report is alternative analysis. They want people to in the intelligence community to express their doubts if they don't agree with conventional wisdom.
One of the recommendations, as I understand it, is for the new director of national intelligence, John Negroponte, currently the designee, to not be the one who gives the president his daily intelligence report. Now, that's something the president said very specifically: John Negroponte is going to brief me. Why does this commission recommend he not do that?
I think the commission does not want the Director of National Intelligence to have to get bogged down in the daily headline or the daily crisis. Porter Goss, the current director of the CIA, who does brief the president every day on intelligence, said in a public speech a few weeks ago that he's spending as much as 5 hours a day trying to put together this daily intelligence brief for the president. Sounds like the commission wants the Director of National Intelligence, Negroponte, to focus on longer-term strategic goals to prevent the next terrorist attack rather than worrying about having to brief the president on whatever the little crisis is each day.
Did they suggest who might brief the president?
They said someone else, I guess someone lower down the ladder in the intelligence community would do that, but I don't know if the president's going to accept that recommendation.
Will this report affect any of the intelligence legislation that Congress has already passed?
I don't think it's going to affect it in a major way. A lot of the reaction I'm getting from the Capitol Hill, from the key committees, is that they're going to do more oversight. They're probably going to have more hearings. But no one's saying we need new legislation to do A, B, and C. They're saying we might need to tweak this or that to give the Director of National Intelligence a bit more power here or give them a bit more authority over specific things. But there's not going to be a big landmark piece of legislation as a result of this. That happened last year. Most of this is done, could be done by executive order or through internal rule changes at the agencies.
Mm-hmm. There have already been several reports from the 9/11 Commission and the U.S. Arms Inspector Charles Delfer that found no evidence that Iraq produced weapons of mass destruction after 1991. Did this report come to any different conclusions on that?
Well, it was interesting. The press conference today that Lawrence Silverman, one of the chairman of the co-chairman of this commission, had, he said that a lot of the intelligence community was sort of basing their assumptions. They were building their foundation on what they believed was true in 1991 during the first Gulf War, and that they did not adjust their evidence or their expectations in 2003 when the second war happened. So I don't think they found anything major that would have suggested that there was ever any evidence that Iraq was reconstituting its nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons.
Does the commission find why? What caused this failure? I mean, what was the problem with the intelligence agencies?
Well, they spend the first 300 pages of this 618-page report saying what went wrong. So there's a lot of reasons. Some of it they blame on the sort of general bureaucratic problems within the intelligence agencies, the resistance to hear dissenting views, the inability to share information from one stovepipe in one agency to another. But like you said earlier, they did not get into the question of whether there was any political pressure to make this WMD intelligence sound better.
They certainly suggest in the report that the problem is ongoing. They don't mention North Korea or Iran by name, but imply there are problems there in terms of what we know about their weapons of mass destruction and weapons and programs, right?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the commission is concerned that the problems that predated the Iraq War and that predated 9/11 are still generally there despite the efforts at reforms. I believe there are classified sections of this commission report that do deal specifically with North Korea, perhaps Libya, perhaps Iran. But, of course, those are classified. We haven't seen those.
Mm-hmm.
And they're concerned that the same sort of attitudes and tones are going into the intelligence on those countries.
They also call for changes at the FBI.
Yeah, so one of the changes at the FBI that they really want to bring the FBI, which is more geared toward domestic law enforcement intelligence, into the greater intelligence community. And this is something they've been trying to do, but doing that is fraught with possible civil liberties questions, where you start merging the FBI's domestic role with the rest of the intelligence community's overseas roles, where they have a lot more leeway in how they can operate outside of the country, the way compared with how the FBI is allowed to operate inside our country.
The president, when he commented on this today, actually seemed to be trying to buoy up the morale at the intelligence agencies. It was quite remarkable when it was such a scathing report.
Yeah, the president, what was interesting is that he did grab on to two of the positive developments in this commission, where he highlighted the successes of breaking up the Pakistani nuclear weapons network that was headed up by the nuclear scientist A.Q. Khan. He also highlighted the fact that the intelligence community did enough good work to get Libya to admit its nuclear development programs. So, he put some positive spin on what was in there.
Now, as you said, they made no mention of politicization, except to say it sounds like in their footnotes that this wasn't their responsibility. I guess it leaves the issue open.
It does. They asked Senator Charles Robb whether there was any political evidence. He said that he found in his interviews that no evidence that anyone had pressured the intelligence agents, the intelligence community, to come up with certain findings that would back the political goals of the administration.
Mm-hmm. If you were going to guess at what will come out of this report in terms of legislative changes, which would you think would be most likely to succeed?
It's hard to say at this point. Like I said, I don't think there's going to be any major legislation that comes out of this. But, I mean, they will no doubt create a national counterproliferation center. I don't think that they'll need more legislation to create that. There might be some things where they have to tweak the rules that the FBI operates under. There's efforts to give the FBI more freedom in gathering intelligence and working across the board with the CIA. There might need to be legislation for those items.
Well, thanks a lot for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
Martin Cady covers intelligence for Congressional Quarterly. He spoke to us from his office here in Washington.